is good.
I am so happy to be back. When Pastor said, Mark, how did things go? And I said, I am glad to be back home and to be in real peace. Right? You know, I went to comfort my mother, and that's exactly what I did. I got to pray with her, pray with her. She said the sinner's prayer. She'll be 80 years old in June, and you know, we don't know whether or not she's going to make it through to her birthday, but I was very excited to see her and to just be able to share personally with her, again, the gospel of Jesus Christ and his goodness and his grace. Can you say amen? Let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 1, and then we're going to read on down to verse 10. Philippians chapter 2, and ask God's grace. Pastor, so I was like, oh, man, I don't really have an illustration, but I have a joke for you. I'm not really good with jokes, but I'm going to say it. Why did the doctor cross the street? Anybody know? No, because he had legs. Corny. That's why it doesn't work for me. So let's open our Bibles real quick to this verse of scripture. Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Everybody there? Good. Let's read this. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In verse 9, wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Why don't we pray and ask God's grace? God, we come before your throne of grace and we ask God for your mercy. We ask for your loving kindness. We ask that as we hear your words, God, that you would move in our hearts, that you would move in our minds, that you would change us and that you would mold us until we become as Jesus Christ and have his mind and only his mind and only his purpose and his will. And we ask, God, right now that you would have blessing over all of your people, over their hearts and their minds, and that you would give peace unto us as we listen to this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is good. This sermon came out of a message. It wasn't even a message. I think I was talking with Pastor, I don't know, it was Pastor, no, it was really Maribel and Valerie, and we were just talking about what would the church be like? What would the church be like? What would we be like if everyone treated everybody with kindness? If every thought that we had about somebody was, instead of being strife, put down, or gossip, what would it be like if everyone in the church treated everyone with kindness, gave mercy, and showed love all the time? Are you with me? What would the church be like? The world would definitely be a different place because the Bible says that as we love one another, our love will be displayed to the world. But sometimes we live in a world right now that's full of chaos and confusion, and we have been there for quite some time. So now that when people look at the church, that confusion and is all in the church. The strife, vainglory, right? Enmity, that's in the church right now. Am I the only one believing this? It's there. So sometimes the world has nothing to look to see what is it that we need to be like or what they need to see in a Christian's life. So we want to look at this one thing, the having the mind of Christ, and this is one of the sermons as we talked about this, me, Valerie, Pastor walked in, and I said, man, what would the church be like if everyone did this? And Pastor said, preach on it. So I was like, okay, great. This is the first one. So I'm doing this because Pastor mentioned it. The next one is going to be a little bit different. So let's look at this, right? The mind of Christ. I'm going to go over a definition of the word mind. And many of you probably already know this, but the word mind blends into several definitions. The first one is to think, to regard, and then it is to be like-minded. It means to feel, and then it goes into something else. It has the idea that as we are thinking and as we are considering something, we move or we make actions in the direction of what we're considering. Everyone with me? So it's not noun. Noun is not just a thought. It is we are moving somewhere. The word mind has the idea of we set our affections on something in the mind, and then we go after it with our body. Right? It's like, I want to be, you know, a fireman or whatever you want to be, but that child, when he gets older, if he really has set his mind on it or her mind on it these days, I don't know. I don't know if I want a woman trying to carry me out of a burning building. I don't have anything against women, but I want somebody to be strong enough to get me down those stairs. All right, so we, him or her, it doesn't matter. But once they set their mind on it, they go after it in later days. Are you with me? And they seek that thing. So this word, mind, not only encompasses the actual consideration and the thought, but it actually moves back into the feeling. So we're actually feeling this. And we move it into our body so much so that we want to possess it. So this word mind, and here we can get a picture of it here in Romans chapter 8. If you want to go there, you can. I have it written down here. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 4 through 6, it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now watch what he says. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see how that's going all together? Paul is saying, hey, that those who mind the flesh, who consider it, who only dwell on it, who only look after that, these are the people who actually go after the things of the flesh, right? The Bible says, as a man thinketh, in Proverbs 23, verse 6 through 7, as a man thinketh, so is he, right? Now, we're not just talking about a passing thought, because how many of you have passing thoughts that go through your mind? We're not talking about that. We're talking about a mindset that has a purposeful direction and is going to get something. So when the Bible says, have this mind in you that was also in Christ Jesus, he's saying, have a mindset, a purpose, a goal, and an action toward that goal, just like Jesus did. Are everybody with me? No, I'm sorry. Proverbs 23:6 says something else. It says, eat thou not with the bread of him that have an evil eye, right? Neither desire thou his dainty meats, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, got part of it. So far, are you with me? We're going to move on to something else. So here the Bible is telling us that we have to have a certain mindset. One man said this, man is always aiming at something. He's always striving and endeavoring as it is a part of his nature. He must seek to possess and he must be committed. So everybody in this place right now, I have a particular mindset of what I want to be. I have a particular desire that I am now going after, right? And now we're only hoping that that desire and that mindset that is pushing us to act is in accordance with the mind of Christ. If it's not, then it's only that of men. So now the Bible gives us a picture of something because he says, Paul says, as he goes through this, he says, have He says, let this mind, in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Then after that verse, Paul begins to describe some characteristics that Jesus possessed. But before that verse, he actually talks about what the mind of Christ was. Are you with me? So, and what it still is, because he's still alive. He says, fulfill ye my joy, in verse 2, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Verse 3, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Then he says, let this mind, what was the mind? The verses above that describe what Christ's mind was, right? No strife, no vainglory. He looked to the needs of others, and he also considered the other needs of others, and he humbled himself. Now, I want to look at this, because I want to look at the word strife, because this is the key. Strife has an interesting history. This particular word, I had to use some good word studies to dig some things out, because this word first means this. It first means a day laborer, and it means somebody who every day they go out and they seek a way to live. When I first became a Christian and I didn't have a job, I was a day laborer. And what I did, I went to the Department of Labor. And while I was at the Department of Labor, I was seeking temporary work for a day. Why? Because I had my own self-interest. What was it? To gain money so I can eat. Are you with me? And there's nothing wrong with that, right? The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he should not eat. So there's nothing wrong with being a day laborer. It's the attitude of the day laborer that we're going to look at, and that it goes passes down to the word strife. Because the day laborer is only considering himself, not the needs of others. And he'll do anything to get the job first because he wants to feed his family. Are you with me? He may knock some people out of the way, right? It's the attitude. The word then goes to tying into a harlot. Now, what do you think? What would a harlot have to do with the word strife being in this definition? The harlot is also self-seeking and also self-directed. The harlot isn't there to give somebody else pleasure as much as she is there to get money. Are you with me? And I believe that she had the money, then she wouldn't be out there doing that anymore. Are you with me? Am I making any mistakes here? So there, we have this idea now. So now we have the day laborer. They have an attitude of self-seeking. We have the harlot, who's not after pleasure. She's after money. So she is also after self-seeking, and she is also doing everything that she can to satisfy her own desires and her own wants. So those words and all of those words going together give us an idea and a picture of the word strife. Then the word, we have three definitions there. The day laborer, his attitude. The harlot, her attitude. And then the word goes to electioneering. How many know what that word is? That means I'm running for office, right? And I go from town to town to town. And what am I doing? I'm trying to get you to vote for me. I'll say anything. I'll do anything. I'll make you believe I care. I just want your vote. Because the interest is mine, not yours. Are you with me? It's the same idea that Paul used in Corinthians when he said, hey, I'm hearing that there's contentions among you. One of you say that I'm a Paul. One of you say that I'm of Silas or Cephas, and another one says that I'm of Apollos. He says, wait, what are you guys doing? If you read that, if you do an actual study on the word, on the Corinthian church, they were in so much contention with each other. They were fighting. They were quarreling. They were hating. They were causing massive division. So much so that Paul has to write to them and say, come on, guys, who am I? Who is Apollos? Who is Cephas? Who am I? But nothing but the servants of God. How can we brag? Because we only receive that which was given unto us. We never had it in the first place until God gave it to us. He's trying to calm down something. This is the idea of strife, right? From strife, whenever we have strife, and whenever we have strife, we cause division. Are you with me? What, you know, we cause division. We want to be right in everything that we say. We want others to take on our side and not the side of others. Have you ever had a, I remember a long time ago, I had, back in Florida, I had to, talk to a couple. They came to my office. They were saying something. And each one of them, when they sat down, had their story, and no one was willing to give in. They were like, no, and he did this, and he did this, and it was especially when I had to work with a whole bunch of kids, and I used to counsel kids. This is a long time ago before I even gotten to fill them in now. I had to counsel kids. They were coming with their parents and their mother, and they would sit back and forth and fight. Well, my mother or my dad is doing this, and the mother would, well, they were doing this. And now you see why I got out of counseling. I was like, I can't take it anymore, because neither one of them wanted to change. No, you could point out something. Well, I won't. I'll consider that, or I'll do this if they will do this. Well, I'm not doing that because they're not going to do this. But you're not. None of you want to change, and all you're doing is causing strife and division within the home. What would the church be like? What would marriages be like if every person in the church, every husband and wife, every individual would actually say, you know what? I'm going to try to have the mind of Christ and look for the benefit of the other as opposed to looking for my own self-interest. You with me? What would we be like? How could we exist? We can wake up in the morning and we can look at each other and say, hey, honestly, I love you. And not say, I love you, but in the back of our mind, but. I wish you would, you know. And sometimes we verbalize it. Can you say amen? What would the workplace be like? This is really good in the workplace. If we could do away with all types of strife that only causes contention and division, what would the workplace be like if we could say, you know what? I'm going to let that happen. I'm going to let that guy have the place of honor, or that girl. I'm not going to try to fight and wiggle my way into position so I can get something. I know what I'm talking about because I've done it before. Right? And no, I didn't get the position. Right? God showed me, be content with what you have. That doesn't mean that we don't try to strive to get better. That's not what I'm saying. But you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we can be looking for that, pushing everybody out of the way, putting everybody else down to raise ourselves up. What would the world be like? And we don't have to worry about the world because the world's not going to change. But what would we be like if we all made the decision to say, I'm going to have the mind of Christ in every action, in every communication, and in every relationship that I'm in? What would we be like? We'd be more gracious. Can you say amen? We wouldn't start quarreling with our bosses. We would be more hesitant to quarrel with our spouses. We would hear more and speak less, right? And when I say hear, I'm not talking about we hear and in our mind we're racing to figure out how we can bait the thing that we're hearing already. I'm not talking about that. Really trying to listen to somebody and hear somebody. Are you with me? There will be way less divisions, and there will be way less anger and hatred in our hearts if we could say, you know what, I'm going to do my best to look for a way to be a blessing as opposed to being a hindrance. I'm going to look for how can I help the needs of others. I'm not saying ignore your needs, because Paul's not saying that. Paul says, don't just look out for yourself, but look out for somebody else. Consider someone else in all that you do. What would it be like if the church, if our lives would be full of no type of strife? You with me? This word is always used with other words, and it's kind of funny. Not kind of funny, but it's interesting, because they all go together. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. Now he's talking about sexual issues right now. Now he goes to idolatry and witchcraft. Now he's going into emotional, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, and envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such the like, of which I tell you before, in times past, that they which do such things will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You see, strife doesn't exist on its own. Are you with me? It's always with something. Because when you start to have strife, real strife, you can have hatred seek in. Can you say amen? Seek into the heart. And then when you have hatred, you can have murder. Now, we don't always go out and kill the person with a knife or, you know, a gun. Maybe you thought of it, but we don't. But we do kill people with our words. We kill more people with our words than you can ever imagine. I told my sister, my sisters went to my grandmother's when my grandmother moved away, and she stayed in a safe neighborhood, three of them. All the boys, I don't know why, they kept us in this, literally in the ghettos. So we had a different raising, let's say this. And so my sister was talking to me about something, and I looked at my sister, this is recently, this is last week, and I said, you know what? I would have rather been beaten than to hear the words that I heard in my mind. Because I could take the beating, and it would leave physical scars. But those emotional scars, you can say sticks and stones, right? May break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. That's a lie. We listen to every word, whether we want to hear it or not, we hear it, and it has some kind of effect on us. So we do more damage to each other with our words, both in the marriage, outside of the marriage, in the workplace, even in our own selves. Are you with me? What is the other thing that the Bible says that describes Jesus? One, we already see that he had no strife. Everything he did was done without strife. He didn't do it in hatred or enmity. He didn't cause, though his words caused division, that wasn't his purpose. Are you with me? He was trying to bring people to salvation. Unfortunately, when people don't want to be saved, you know, the Pharisees and whoever else, it causes a lot of strife and division. But Jesus wasn't pulling that out. They were pulling that because they were living in the flesh. The next thing is vainglory. What is vainglory? It is that area of pride that we all have, right? We always want to push ourselves forward about anything. Have you ever been in a conversation? I have. I was recently in one. And you're sitting down talking, everything is going good, and someone says something, and they say, oh, I can up that. Well, I'm doing this. And then they were coming back. This is what was happening with, you know, I have eight people in my family. So some of them, you know, some of them are more wealthy, and some of them may not be more wealthy, right? But even people who are wealthy, they argue in between. Everyone wants to step up with some vainglory, boasting, and puffing oneself up to be something that we are really not. I'm guilty of it. Am I the only one? Raise your hands if you are. Let's be honest in Jesus' name, for crying out loud. This is the church. We're not getting on people. This is the church. I'm just trying to figure out what would the church be like if we weren't like this, if we really, truly desired and prayed for God, give me your mind and not my mind, right? Give me your mind. The Bible constantly talks about be renewed in your mind, right? With the knowledge of Christ. Why is it saying that? Or be renewed. I went to church up there when I was there, and I went and sat down, and I sat with my sister next to me. They sang that song. It was really good. I started lifting my hands. My sister's looking at me like I'm strange. She's like, I can't believe that you raised your hands. I was like, we're worshiping God, for crying out loud. Why not, right? So the man says something. He called them trash heads. And he had a picture up there, and it was a man with his skull open and all sorts of trash falling out. And he began to say that many of us as Christians, we have to deal with the trash that we keep in our heads. And one of the things he mentioned was the idea of strife, bitterness, anger, contention, quarreling, seditions, all those emotional things, envy, pride, arrogance, and boasting. He says we have to deal with that. And the only way we can deal with it that I can see from my study that I've done here is that we have to put on, right, the new man, take off the old man, and allow God, Jesus Christ, to really come into our hearts and our minds and get a renewal. That's what we need. So now we see that Christ, everything that he did was without puffing up, without vainglory. Everything that he did was to try to help someone else. If you study Christ's actions, everything that he did, he was did to do for others. All the healing, all the deliverance. The Bible says he came down and humbled himself, being equal with God, right? Am I right? He clothed himself with humanity. So this is God, God in the flesh, God with all his glorious power, no sin whatsoever, didn't do anything wrong, yet he came to die for you and me. That's the mind of Christ. Giving up of ourselves so that we can be a blessing to someone else. Everyone with me? Where's the reward in that? In verse 9 of that same chapter, the Bible says, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. It says, arise, O God, O Lord God, lift up thine hand, forget not the humble. That was in Psalms 12. In James chapter 4, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So I want you to listen to this. Because God never tells us something without giving us a hope of a reward for doing it. Right? Give, and it shall come back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Luke, right? 6:38. You with me? That's in the Bible. He's trying to encourage it. Now God is saying, I want be humble like I am. Lord, that word humble doesn't mean someone making you humble. It means that he willingly lowered himself so that he can come out and meet our needs. Are you with me? So there's a reward for it. Matthew 23:12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, but he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. If you want to see some good things happen in your life, walk humbly before your spouse, walk humbly before your boss, walk humbly before those in the church, and really begin to think, you know what? You know, I'm going to try to look to the benefit of others and not just of myself. I'm not just going to try to wiggle into position, but I'm going to let God take care of all that other stuff. Are you with me? And God says he'll give us a blessing. Why don't we have every head bowed and every eye closed for just 1 second? This was I don't know if it was short or not, but I hope it was. But you're in this place, you're not saved, you're not right with God, you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't know the love of God, you've never received him as your Lord and Savior, you don't know tonight, right now, that if you died, you would make heaven your home. And if that's you, you've never said, Jesus Christ, come into my life, forgive me of my sins, and I want a personal relationship with you, and that's you, and you're here, I want you to raise your hand and put it right back down. You've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, never said a sinner's prayer. Okay, I'm believing that everyone's here is saved. I know everybody here anyway. Now I want to look at this verse of scripture. And I want the Spirit of God to just move upon your heart. And I'm hoping that he has. What kind of mindset do we possess as we're here today, as we listen to the Word of God? What kind of mindset do we have? Is it our mind, where we're only seeking ourselves? We're only wanting those things for ourselves. We're only interested of those things ourselves. Or do we really try to possess the mind of Christ and his mindset that says, you know, I'm going to lower myself and I'm going to look to the needs of others, not just of myself, but to others, and give others consideration first. If you're here, these altars are open. And if God ministered to you, unto you, these altars are open. You can come up and ask God's grace and his mercy. Amen. While the others are praying, I guess we'll sing a song. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my day. Desperate for you.